Welcome back to Zillennials Podcast. Today on Zillennials, we have a winter quarter in review for 2022 to 2023. That's what I meant to say. Not 2023 to 2024. It's a little early in the morning. You'll have to pardon me.
Yeah, I love these episodes just because we get to sit and chat for a while. We usually start with our goal check-in. So how are your goals going this year?
So far, I think they're going okay. In terms of my working out goal, I feel like I'm doing a lot better with that, especially recently because I joined a gym for the first time since COVID, which is big steps for me because I was like, I don't know if I want to join a gym. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. And honestly, I'm so glad that I did. It's not like the perfect gym by any means, but it's just really nice to have a designated space that's like on my way home from work where I can go and work out, because then it's kind of like Atomic Habits, right? Where they're like, if you bring yourself somewhere, you're going to do what you set out to do. You make it easier for yourself to accomplish the task.
Which I think is kind of interesting because it just shows how people are different. Because for me, having a gym would make it harder. I don't think I would go. I think for me, making it easier is the home workouts because I don't have to go anywhere and everything's right there and it cuts down on commute time back and forth. But I think what makes a difference for you is that you found one that's on your route home anyway. So I think that makes it easier.
Yeah, because that was specifically something I was looking for, is I was like, it needs to be on my way home or else I know I won't go. So I was like, so let me find one on my way home that'll work. And it's been really nice. You know, I initially decided to go there because I changed jobs. So for those of you listening, I don't know if I told you this already, but I'm no longer teaching. I decided to accept a different position, which honestly has been fantastic for my mental health. And since I accepted this position, it's a little bit more of like a stationary position, kind of like an office job. And so I wanted to make sure that I had a place where I could walk if the weather was not good, which is why I went and I joined this gym, because I wanted to make sure if all else fails, I've got like a treadmill that I can walk on so I can get a couple more steps in during the day, because I am a little bit more stationary at my job now compared to when I was teaching.
I have a question. Is your gym at a location that's good if you're not at work that day to still go?
Actually, yeah, it's about 10, maybe 15 minutes away from where I live. So it's pretty close. It's also right by a lot of the grocery stores I frequent. So what's nice is I can always like go to the gym and then go to the grocery store.
I like that. You're making other habits easy too, like healthy eating.
Exactly. So that's been pretty good. How have your goals been going?
My stretching goal has gone kind of miserably. Not that I haven't been stretching. I just don't think I've been doing it enough. And the trainer that I watch, she talks about how you need to stretch to have like your muscles have their full range of motion and how it actually helps you do better in your actual workouts. So we're going to, you know, recommit. I know in one of her stretching videos, she mentioned that you should do it every day, but like if not, like 3 times a week. And so I think going from like 1 to 2 times every so often to every day would be a bit much. So I think for the next quarter, we're really going to try for 3 a week, because we want to make it achievable. And I think if I go for like a full 7, I won't do it. And then, as we've talked about before with habit stuff, is like then you get discouraged and you just kind of give up. So we're going to keep it realistic.
I like that. I think that's a really good way to view it too. And 3 times a week is pretty good. I feel like I stretch maybe 3 times a week, but I probably don't stretch more than that.
I think also, seeing as I take 1 or 2 rest days a week, sometimes 3, it's so easy that I should just be able to pop them in then.
Exactly. Or like you go on a nice little walk and then you come home and then you stretch.
Yeah, because I think on my quote off days, I've gone for walks, which is good because I'm still moving, but I think I just need to add in, do a stretch as well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I'm trying to think of some of the other goals we had. I know that you were talking about your book goal. Do you want to tell us about that one?
Yeah. So my goal was to read 52 books because I liked the idea of a book a week. I'm thinking about changing the number only because I feel like I might be rushing through books, or like when I haven't read for a bit, trying to kind of feeling bad about that. So I think I might change it. But then also I'm kind of stubborn and I want to read 52 books because I said I would. So we'll see.
Yeah, I feel like I've been reading a little bit more this year too, which has been great. Another thing that's been going super well for me is, especially since I quit teaching, I have been drawing a lot more. Like, I think I've drawn 6 or 7 small to medium, I'd say, drawings within the last month and a half, which, to give you context, like, I would be lucky if I did that in a school year previously. So for me, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So I've really been enjoying that, and that has been a huge positive that's been going on in my life.
I think that's great because it's giving you more time for your interests instead of coming home and just being completely sapped of all energy.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of like the reason why I haven't reduced my book goal so far, because according to my little tracker, I've read 9 books so far, which means I'm apparently 1 book ahead of schedule, but I haven't been reading as much recently because school has gotten crazy, and part of me wants to wait for the summer to see if I want to readjust the goal, because I know last summer I read a ton of books, and so to just kind of see where I am then, because I think I could change it now and then read a ton over the summer, and then 52 may be more realistic.
Yeah. Or what you could do is you could always set like a mini goal for like, I want to have 10 read by the time summer rolls around. And then if I have 10 read by the time summer rolls around, which, I mean, you said you already did 9, so maybe it should be more than 10. But like, you know what I mean? If you have a certain amount by the time the summer rolls around, then you can keep your 52. If you have a little less, then you can readjust your goal if needed.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing where, yeah, I'd love to get 52 because it's, I don't know, in my head, it sounds accomplished. But I think what the goal number-wise for me is really, like, what the point of it is to just get me to read more. So we'll see.
I feel like I should make a book goal after hearing you talk about your 52 books. But I think mine would be significantly lower than that. I feel like mine would be, like, 2 books a month.
Ooh, that's not bad. What I was thinking, okay, so I had 2 alternatives. One was to reduce it to, I think it was 40 something, but to reduce the goal to the number of books I read last year, because then I know that is realistic for school life because I did it before. And then the other was like to kind of do something. Well, here's the thing. If I did 2 a month, it'd be 24, and I read a lot more than that. So I don't know. Now I'm just, you know, we won't put listeners through my book debate, but
just know that it's going on. It's going on.
Exactly.
Did we want to transition into some of our highlights of the quarter?
Yeah, what's yours?
My highlight is that I switched jobs. Like I said, it's just been really good for my mental health. And if you're listening and you were like a former student of mine or somebody in my district, just know like this is absolutely not anything against you. My decision to do this was very much for me and for my mental health was why I decided to leave. And I really do miss some aspects of teaching, but for me, having this change has been absolutely wonderful, just personally.
I think it's so great that you actually did it, because I know it's like, I think a lot of people gets comfortable and, you know, for you, it's like, oh, you know teaching, you know what to expect, you know what you need to do. And it's just that you actually was like, took the leap and switched is just so cool.
Yeah, it was definitely a really hard decision though, because I remember like I kept pushing off the decision because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And like there were many tears shed. I was not sure what I wanted to do and it was really making me quite nervous. But I'm really happy that I decided to switch out.
I think such a big change like that is so, there's just so much unknown, because it's not just that you're switching schools. It's like you're switching into something completely new. So I think some of it is like, okay, here's the pros and cons of teaching. Here's this new job, which is super new and exciting, but it's because you haven't done it before. There's always that, like, well, if I switch, am I going to, like, regret it?
Yeah, and I think that was one of the big things about it is I was really worried that I would switch and then regret it because I'm somebody who really likes a lot of change on a day-to-day basis rather than something that's going to be always the same. And I like to make things and do things. Like, that's very much how I am as a person. And I think it was very worrying for me, especially because the job that I'm working at now is a little bit more of an office job. I was worried that it would be like very monotonous, which I haven't found it to be that monotonous because there are so many different parts and facets to my current job. So I've been really lucky that it worked out for the best.
It's so exciting. Living your best life.
Yeah. So what was your highlight of the quarter?
Okay, so this feels like so long ago now because I think it was the first weekend in December, but my highlight was it was in the beginning of December where I went to my first board game convention with Kyle, and I was very excited, and I bought way too many board games, but I have no regrets. I think I talked more about this in our board game episode, so I won't go too into it, but I was very excited for that, and then I think I've really been wanting to, like, have board gaming friends because, like, a lot of my friends, like, will play games, but, like, I wanted somebody who's, like, as into it as I am, if you know what I mean. And so when we were there, we met this guy, and then at the beginning of February, we met up at a brewery and played games, like Kyle and I, and then him and his girlfriend. And then they're coming today, and we're going to play games again. And so I'm really hoping they become, like, my board game friends.
I love that. That sounds so fun.
I'm very excited. So, as a heads up, a challenge for the quarter, I didn't think of anything specific. I just wrote life.
Law school. I feel like that's fair, though, because it is a lot of time and a lot of work. And I feel like you also have to be very regimented to have your school and your life balance. Or, you know, sometimes the life balance goes out the window, and that can also be a little tough, just from what I've heard talking to you.
I feel like last year is very much like, we're going to do school all the time, even though we're telling ourselves we're taking, like, proper breaks. Whereas this year, I've definitely been better at socializing and taking breaks, but also, I don't know, it still weighs on you. I think we were talking about this before we started recording. It's like when you're taking your break, all the other things that you're putting off are still, like, kind of just in a cloud, just right over there.
Yeah, the anxiety still kind of rests on your shoulders where you're like, I know that I'm taking a break now, but then I will have to deal with this other thing later. And it could take 2 hours, it could take four, who knows?
It's that type of feeling where you're on a break and you're enjoying it, but also your break seems like borrowed time from work you could be getting done.
Yeah, which I think is just a really hard way to live on a consistent basis, like for months on end. I think that it's very difficult and it wears you down.
Yeah, and I think I've definitely been better this year about just being like, I'm taking my break, and if that means I have more work to do later, then I have more work to do later. Do I think like that all the time? No. But I do think a lot of law school is really just teaching you how to manage that. Because I know I've heard from a lot of lawyers, there's like, oh, you learn how to be a lawyer like when you're hired or like in your summer internships, that type of thing, in terms of like actual skills that you're going to use. But I think the one thing that like law school can help with is just the idea of having a ton of work and like, how are you going to manage?
Yeah, which is a difficult skill to do.
And I think with any person, some months, some weeks you're going to be better at it, and some weeks you're not. Like, I had my first, like, really, really late night where I had a deadline at midnight, and I used pretty much all the time I could use.
Wow. This is new.
It was like a one-time thing. Because as I told Kaylee, this week was crazy with deadlines, and it was kind of like, if this isn't the next deadline that's due, we got to work on this other thing first. But The fact that I've only had one night like that so far, where high school, definitely more, and college, there was more. So I think we're doing okay.
That's really impressive, honestly. I remember when I was in college, one time I told one of my teachers, I was like, I thought about lying to you and telling you that I wasn't, that I was sick, air quotes, sick. But I was like, but I respect you too much as a human being to do that. So I'm just going to let you know that I am unable to attend this class because I'm going to be working on work for another class, which I feel very bad about, but like it needs to get done. Like I can't not do it. Because I think it was like, oh, I remember what it was. We had these plaster carving things and we were supposed to carve plaster. And I remember like they didn't tell us how to do it. So instead of getting like chisels, which, you know, I probably should have done, I was carving them with like ceramic loop tools. So it took literal hours to make these carvings. Like it took so, I think I spent like 20 hours just carving plaster. It was horrible. So that was why like I had to miss classes, because I was like, I still have this plaster carving that I still need to do. So I can't go to class because I need to finish this. So, I mean, you're clearly much better at time management than I was, because why it took me that long, I don't know. I do not know. Clearly, I was just silly.
I mean, in terms of time management, I think what I've learned is things may take longer than you expect. And start them early, because best case scenario, you finish early. You hand it in. It's off your plate. Worst case scenario, you have the full amount of time that was allotted to work on something. Rather than high school or, I don't know, maybe college me. Sorry, professors. I'd write a term paper in like 4 days.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that that's something that also comes with getting older too. Because I look at what I did in college versus what I do now. And now it's like, I make a task list, I prioritize, and like my time management skills are significantly better now compared to when I was in college. I think it was also just, I was always burned out in college because I would take like ridiculous amounts of credit hours, but that's neither here nor there.
I love a good list. That's my favorite method. Yes, you're going to have to add things. Yes, you're going to have to shift things around, but I gotta love a list. I think A, it helps organize my thoughts, and B, the satisfaction of checking things off.
One of my favorite things is on Microsoft Teams, you can go and you can make a list, and then you can set deadline dates for it, and you can also like denote if it's important. And so then it'll rank it by like deadline for you automatically. And I'm like, oh, this is so nice, because it helps me to like think about, okay, what are my tasks for today? What are my tasks for later on in the week? So if I'm not feeling doing something that I want to do today, I can always be like, all right, what's due tomorrow? And I can do it, and then I can circle back to what I'm supposed to be doing today.
Yeah, I think I've also done the thing where I've done something that's not on my to-do list for that day. It's still something that needs to get done. And so then I add it so I can check it off.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think it's definitely a skill, which I think I've always been pretty good at, but I think I've had to get even better.
Yeah, I have not always been good at being organized like that, but as I get older, it's definitely, the benefits are becoming clear and I'm doing it more.
That's great. That's growth.
It is. It is. My challenge of the quarter, I was going to say switching jobs, but I feel like I already talked about that. So I'm actually going to switch it to something else. So I've reached out to two of my old teacher coworkers the other day, which we have not gotten together since I left my job. And so for me, it was something that was like, it made me very nervous to reach out to them, because I was like, what if they're secretly mad at me? And that's why they haven't reached out. But I was like, you know what? You worked with them for like 3 years. I think you'll probably be good. You were invited to one of their weddings. I was like, I think you'll probably be okay. So I finally did a brave act, and I decided to reach out to them and try to set a date for us to get together. And they were both so nice about it. They were like, yeah, we'd totally love to do that. So that's very exciting, and I'm very much looking forward to it and just catching up with them. I think it'll be really good to catch up with them.
That's so awesome. I'm glad you're still staying in contact. I have a question. When you reach out to people and make plans, I don't know if this is like a law school issue, but like, it'll be like, let's say right now, I text someone and be like, hey, you want to hang out sometime soon? And they're like, yeah. And I say, okay, how about the end of March?
Okay. It's funny that you say that because I reached out to them, I don't know, maybe like Tuesday or Wednesday. And I was like, hey, do you guys want to get together? And then I didn't want to say this Friday because I felt like that was too soon. I was like, this Friday is too soon. I was like, what about next Friday? And one of them couldn't do next Friday. So then we set it for the Friday after next Friday. So it's like, you know, half a month out, but it's all good because I feel like it gives you enough time to like mentally prepare.
Also, this episode isn't going out for a few weeks. So for listeners, this was recorded at the end of February. So the end of March is going to sound a little more ridiculous than when you're listening on the release date. But like, yeah, I just like, and I think this isn't necessarily even like you're saying like an introvert thing, like I need to hype myself up for it. It's literally like I've just been booking 1 to 2 months out in terms of plans.
But honestly, I kind of like, as an introvert, I kind of like booking that far out in advance so I can like mentally steel myself like this is going to happen. Prepare yourself.
I like that too. But I think the one downside too is that some months I have like something every single weekend.
That's true. I hate it when it's like weekend after weekend after weekend because then it's just like, I don't know, it's just too much activity all at once.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Which like I love seeing my friends and family and stuff. But I think it's like we've talked about before with our introvertness. Ideally, it would be 1 or 2 weekends a month, but like with a weekend in between.
Yeah, like I think every other weekend for me is the most I can do without feeling like I'm going crazy.
Also, I haven't had that many, but like weeknight things. Those are so overwhelming.
Honestly, sometimes I prefer a weeknight thing to a weekend thing just because then I still have that large stretch of time on the weekend to decompress. Whereas like a weeknight thing is like, all right, like I already know that I'm like going to work and whatnot. As long as it's not too late, like as long as it's over by like 9 or so, I'm like, all right, it's fine.
Yeah, I think like a weeknight dinner is fine. But like I've gone to like shows and stuff on weeknights and it's rough.
Yeah, see, that would not be my cup of tea. Unless it's one of the days that I get to work from home.
Oh yeah, that's so cool. You get to work from home. Okay, I mean, that is the kind of nice part about my schedule is I have a good amount of time not having to commute.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because I remember you were telling me your schedule. Yes, I 100% agree.
Yeah. That hybrid life, like in terms of a workplace, it's kind of nice.
It's so nice. And the thing is, too, sometimes I genuinely feel like I get more done at home than I do in the office. Because sometimes in the office, like people will like start talking to you or, you know, talk about things that are not necessarily work related. And then it's like, oh, like, X amount of time has passed and I didn't do anything because I was talking to you. So I kind of like the work from home life because sometimes it'll help me so that I can really like zone in on what I'm supposed to be doing and on those projects without interruptions.
Yeah, I understand how some people are like study at school in the library type because they are more focused. And I do think that I can get more done because I'm not going to take a half hour YouTube break in the middle of the library because I'm like, people are around. What if they see? But I think I prefer home studying because one, you have everything. And two, you don't have to like get dressed up in like a I'm going out into the world outfit, which I'm all for team comfy studying. I know some people are like, you need to get dressed so you can focus. But like, I like comfy studying.
I agree. I think also one of the things that is not my favorite about studying at the library is I feel like anytime I need to go to the bathroom, I pack up all my stuff and I take it with me. I am not one of those people who will ask a random stranger to watch my laptop. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, like I think that's part of the reason I don't like studying at the library too, especially because like with the way my schedule works, is like if I wanted to do that, I would be there all day. And I'm like, I'm going to have to refill my water. I'm going to have to go to the bathroom. And then you constantly have this internal debate where you're like, do I pack everything up? Because that's annoying. You could lose your seat. But then you're like, if I leave it and run, not actually running. You should not run inside a building. But if you leave it and like you're like, okay, I'll just like refill my water or I'll go to the bathroom like as fast as I can, then you're constantly like, is someone going to take my stuff?
Yeah, which I feel like is not cool. Like, I really don't like that. And then I feel like there's also the issue of food, because you're like, I could go and I could buy something on campus, or at least that's how I felt when I was in school. I was like, I could buy something on campus, but I was like, but then it's going to be expensive. And I don't really want to do that. But then that means I got to pack enough snacks that I'm not going to be dying from hunger.
Yeah. And I think that's the nice thing about staying from home is like when I'm hungry, I just go make something real fast or I just reheat something. But I think, like you're saying, there's so much more preparation involved if you're going to do a study day at the library. Also, I'm just really adverse to like I don't want to commute unless I have to.
That's fair, too. I think it's also different for you, like you said, because you would need to commute, you know?
Yeah. Also, commuting by public transportation, at least for me personally, is a completely different experience than commuting by car. Like, I know people hate traffic, but like for me, yes, I hate traffic, but I was like, at least I'm in my own little bubble if I'm in a car.
See, that's so interesting because for me, I'm like, I greatly prefer public transportation to commuting in my car. And the reason why is because, like, especially if it's a train or something, I can be, like, drawing on the public transportation. Whereas if I'm in my car, like, for the most part, it's lost time. The only thing I can do is, like, sing along to some songs and that's it.
Yeah, but I love song and podcast and audiobook time. The trains are so loud, you have to turn it up so loud that I'm concerned I'm ruining my eardrum, so I don't.
That's true. I feel like I don't know. I feel like I don't turn mine up like that loud if I use my earbuds, but maybe I do.
Yeah, no, I'd much rather drive somewhere. Especially if I'm not driving.
See, that's my thing. If I'm not driving, sure, I'll drive. Quote unquote drive, because I'm not really driving. But if I'm driving, I'm like, driving makes me so incredibly sleepy. Most of the time, like anything over a 20-minute drive, like I am almost falling asleep at the wheel. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know if there's like some medical diagnosis that I should be getting for this. Like, I don't know. But it's so bad. Like, I remember when I was student teaching, I would have to drive to a major city that was by my campus. And it would be like a 45-minute drive, like every single morning. And I'd have to leave at like 6 a.m. And I just remember I would literally almost go off the road because I was so tired. I would be like falling asleep at the wheel.
I don't have that when I drive, but whenever I'm like a passenger, say on a like a long train, like interstate style train, or like on a plane, in the car too. But in the car, I really try to stay awake because I'm like, I don't want to leave Kyle just there to drive by himself for hours with no company, but I fall asleep within a half an hour. One of the times that I went to China, I boarded the plane at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I got a decent night's sleep the night before, wasn't tired. I was asleep within an hour.
That's pretty amazing. I wish I had that skill.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been on a plane in a very long time, but it doesn't even matter how long it is. Like one time I was on a flight that was like a few hours, like gate to gate. So we weren't even in the air that long. I just fell asleep.
I feel like on planes, though, I try to fall asleep because it's like, it's just kind of dead time. Like, what else are you going to do? It's not super comfy for reading or for watching movies. Like, I mean, it's fine, but it's not like the most comfortable thing. So do we want to transition into our favorite book of the quarter?
Yeah, I mean, I think this one's pretty easy because I didn't quite enjoy the other two. So my pick is The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett.
I would 100% agree. I think that it was just a really great book and a very thought-provoking read.
I think there's not much more to say on this because we have, what, like an hour or so conversation in a different episode. So I recommend listening to that instead of hearing us rehash everything. We also have a guest on that episode, Rihika, so good episode to listen to.
But yes, I would definitely recommend this book. I would say that in terms of is it overhyped or not, I would say it's not overhyped in my opinion.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. And other things you've been enjoying this quarter?
Other things I've been enjoying this quarter? I don't even know.
Yeah, I was trying to think of it. to see if there was anything that I hadn't mentioned before, because I'm like, yes, I've still been listening to a ton of Board Game Barrage. We're almost there. We have like 19 episodes, which is really impressive because I started from episode one like a year ago. And for those of you who don't know or didn't hear that other episode when I was talking about them, they have like 4 or 5 years of stuff. So it's very impressive that I'm like, we are in 2022 now, like in terms of podcast listening. It took a long time to get there. So I was trying to think of something else new. There is a podcast that I got into recently that's like Let's Go to Court-esque, but like slightly less, I don't know, raunchy, provocative? Not sure quite the right word, but it's called True Crime and Cocktails. So the first season, they're talking about like the new Unsolved Mysteries show. But then I think once that goes, like they just branch out into talking about like true crime in general. And just the whole premise is like they drink a cocktail when they're talking about true crime. I like it. It's entertaining. But I think that's really the only new thing that I've been doing a lot of recently. I have read some books, but I think we're going to save that for our book talk.
Agreed. One thing, I actually do have one. A good TV show is The Last of Us. I don't know. It got a lot of hype.
Okay, so Kyle and I played the video game a few years ago, and I loved it, but we don't have HBO. I don't have HBO. He doesn't have HBO. My mom doesn't have HBO, and I'm not about to get it because I just got Disney Plus.
My boyfriend, I think, has HBO. Either that or his sister has HBO.
Okay, you liked it?
I loved it. It was so good. I think it was like the third episode which was like kind of like a filler episode, but not really a filler episode. I think it was the third episode that was like my absolute favorite. Is it okay if I do a little spoiler? You said you played the video game, so I'm assuming you kind of know some things that go on, or do you want me to like not talk about it?
You can talk about it.
So the third episode is about this friend of Joel's that lives out in the middle of nowhere, and he's kind of taken this whole town because he was like a survivalist kind of person where he was like stockpiling for decades, and he has turned like this little town that like everybody who was in his town had left, he's turned it into like his own personal like fortress. And it's about his relationship with this other guy, and it's so cute and I love it so much. So that's my favorite episode. That's all I'm gonna say about it, because obviously I'm not trying to ruin too much.
Oh, it's just that thing, like, I think we've talked about it before, where there's, like, there's only so many streaming services you can realistically be paying for at once.
Yeah, definitely. And I think one of the things, too, is, like, it's annoying because there are different things you want to watch on the different streaming services, but it's also, like, but I don't want to spend, like, $50 to $70 a month to have all of these streaming services. That's too much.
If you want everything, what? It's, like, Hulu, Netflix, Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, then all the like HBO Max, whatever Max, you know, all of those. Also, I was wondering what else HBO, oh, Station 11, that's a book. I'm wondering what else they have, because I think that's part of my issue too, is like if one of the streaming services has a show I want to watch, but they literally only have one show I care about, I think that also makes a difference.
Agreed, because if it's only like one show that I care about, it's like it's not worth my time. But if it's like you've got like 5 different shows I care about, then I'm like, all right, like I could probably subscribe to this.
When I heard The Last of Us was becoming a show, I was like, oh, I really want to see that. Maybe when I come visit you at some point.
Oh my gosh. My boyfriend was saying though, he was like, I think the theme for this decade, like, you know how like the 2000s to 2010s, or maybe it was like 2010s to like 2020s, were like all these dystopian films, right? He's like, the ones for this decade are going to be turning video games into movies and into shows.
I don't remember where I saw it. It could have been the New York Times, so you can look it up if you want to see it. But there's this whole article about how like previous video game to movie / TV show adaptations like hadn't gone really well, but like this one has. So like, I'm super interested. Yeah, no, if you ever watch anything else, let me know. Because I feel like I have that thing when you finish a show, I almost don't know what to do with myself in terms of picking a new one. Because it's almost that thing where there's like too much choice.
I feel like the issue is it's like commitment phobia. You know, you're like, I don't want to commit to this and have it be bad because then I've just wasted my time.
So then you just end up rewatching old shows.
Honestly, then I just end up watching like the first episode of a show. And if I don't like it, then I'm like, and I'm out. Thank you so much for joining us for our winter quarter in review for 2022-2023. Our next book club is going to be Marrying the Ketchups by Jennifer Close, and that will be dropping on April 3rd.
We hope you enjoy our discussion on our winter 2022-2023 quarter. It's always fun to look back. I think these will be fun time capsule episodes too. So if you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to hear from you. You can send us an email at zillennialspodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Instagram at zillennialspodcast. You can share some of your highlights, favorites, challenges from the quarter. And don't forget to rate and review Zillennials Podcast on Apple Podcasts.